you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 203 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host. I am super excited for our guest today. Our guest is none other than Jeff Woods. Now, if you're a podcast listener, you probably will recognize that name because Jeff, in a previous lifetime, was the host of a very popular podcast called The Mentee. You'll hear him talk about it. And then he moved on and he is now the host of the podcast called The One Thing. And both of those podcasts have been very successful. The One Thing, extremely successful as we speak. And I have a connection to Jeff, and you, our listeners, have a little bit of a connection to Jeff in that Jeff was my first coach, my first business coach back when he was doing The Mentee. And Jeff worked with me to help develop my law practice, but also to help develop the podcast, The Law Entrepreneur. In fact, the opening, do you ever think that soliloquy there at the beginning of the show, which the words kind of escape me at the moment, but Jeff wrote that and we use it for 203 episodes. So I'm extremely indebted to him. He is the vice president of The One Thing Company, a company created by Gary Keller and Jeff Papasan, the authors of the book by the same title, The One Thing. And we're going to get into an in-depth discussion here about the book. It's something I read, you know, a couple, 3 years ago when it first came out. They've built this whole business, this whole company around the teachings of the book. And I'll just reemphasize this. You'll hear me say it in the show itself, is that, you know, so many times people write self-help books or business development books or what have you, and they just throw the book on the shelf and that's all that comes of it. They never have the additional training or the services or products associated with that, how to put that to use. That's not true with The One Thing. There's a wealth of resources that are available to you if you want to take advantage of it. So I hope that you will after having listened to the podcast. And so without any further delay, my friend, Jeff Woods. Jeff Woods, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Mr. Tyra, my pleasure.
Well, it's a thrill to have you on the show. And as I said, I'm remiss. We should have had you on a long time ago, given our history together. But having said that, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, sure. So way back when you and I first connected, at the time, I was in medical device sales, which was an awesome job. I got to run through hospitals every day. I sold a device that actually saved lives. You know, at times I tried to get my wife to call me McDreamy and she would just say no. And I think like a lot of your listeners, they wake up one day and life is good, yet something's missing. And that's where I was. I wasn't fulfilled and I knew deep down that my goal was to start a business that could actually make a massive impact in the world and deliver real security for my family. Yet I just didn't have enough pain in my life to force me to change. And two things happened that really forced the subject. The first, a colleague of mine had a stroke, and I remember he was 35 years old at the time. And I looked at my wife. We had just bought a house in Orange County, just had our first child. And I remember thinking, if what happened to my colleague had happened to me, what would happen to my family?
Sure.
And the next week, my company changed our commission structure. And overnight, I lost 40% of my compensation. And month after month, I kept telling myself that, don't worry, things will get better. Yet we had built a lifestyle to match our level of income. And when that income dropped, suddenly there's a gap and we're hemorrhaging cash. And it was when the bank account almost hit zero that I heard the Jim Rohn quote that you are also very familiar with, which is, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I looked at my five and felt an immense sense of gratitude. They're amazing people still in my life today. Yet I realized I was seeking guidance on how to become an entrepreneur from people who weren't actually qualified to give it. And there's no judgment in that. It's just the fact they were not qualified. And that set me on a journey to upgrade my five. And I launched my first podcast called The Mentee, which I just documented my journey to move from employee to entrepreneur. And along the way, I ended up meeting Jay Papazian, who co-authored the One Thing, which is the highest rated business book of all time, with his co-author Gary Keller, who started Keller Williams, the real estate company. And it turns out the book had taken off, had already sold over 1 million copies, and they were missing somebody who would wake up every day whose one thing would be the one thing. And that became my opportunity. So for the last 4 years, I have been turning this book into a company, teaching people how they can better invest their time by having a relationship with their goals so they can achieve extraordinary results.
You know, there's two really significant points there that I want to bring to the forefront here. One is how your journey really does parallel in many ways the journey that a lot of attorneys have, that there's some event in their lives or some circumstance that forces them or triggers them in some cases to make that decision to go out and try their hand as a solo or small firm practice. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, they're unprepared for that. And they seek advice from the people surrounding them in the law firm that they're in or law firms similar to that. And very seldom have the opportunity to talk to people who've actually built a practice from scratch. And so they need to improve, well, not improve, but they need to figure out a new set of five folks to surround themselves with. And in some degree, that's what this podcast hopes to do. And so those two things I think are very, very similar and very parallel to the journey that attorneys often take.
Absolutely.
And again, in talking with so many attorneys over the course of the years in this podcast, what we hear the complaint being or the challenge so often is the solos, they're stressed out because they're overwhelmed. They have too much to do. In many cases, they're doing all the legal work, running the legal side of the practice, but they also are struggling with the entrepreneurial side. And just sorting that all out, it's oftentimes a daunting, an overwhelming task. And people don't know where to go, how to dig out from that mess. And I think the One Thing is a perfect example of an approach that has worked for millions.
Absolutely. And it's ultimately, this is all about time, folks. When you think about it, it's our most valuable resource. Yet what we have found, the challenge with so many people, whether inside your firm or whether corporate America, most people spend their time, they don't invest it. And there's a difference between the two. Because when you invest your time, there's an expectation of a return. And the reason we can say most people don't, the evidence of it is, Neil, let me ask you, when most people get to their office and they open their computer, what do?
First thing they do is they start reading their emails.
Until
they have a meeting that somebody else has scheduled.
Yep. And then they get out of the meeting, wonder what they should be doing, don't know immediately, so they check.
I don't know. Check their practice management software?
Their email. They go back to their inbox.
Back to their email.
Until somebody asks them, hey, do you got a minute?
Yeah.
And people at the end of the day, how many of you have ever fast forward to the end of the day and thought to yourself, I was really busy.
I don't know what the hell I accomplished.
Did I get anything done?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is so normal. And that's what we change. You wake up every day and understand that your time is your ultimate equalizer and it's your most valuable resource. How can I better invest my time by having a relationship with my goals so I achieve extraordinary results?
Well, I will tell you that I am the poster child for having that disconnect. I don't, I don't always have an alignment of my daily activities or my weekly activities with my overall goals. Now, part of that is I'm not a very good goal setter. And so I think that's an Achilles heel, at least for me personally, and I'm sure there's a lot of others who feel the same way, that if you're lurching from goal to goal or objective to objective, it's kind of hard to prioritize your day.
Well, here's what I will say for you, Neil, and this will be, hopefully this is a sigh of relief and also piques your curiosity. I would say you and your listeners, it's not about you being a good goal setter. The world actually doesn't need a new way to set goals. They need a way to have a relationship with them. And here's what I mean by this. I want you to think back to when you met your wife, Neil.
Yep.
Go back to date number one. What'd you guys do?
Went out to dinner.
Okay. And by the end of the night, did you feel like it went pretty well?
I did.
And whether you realize it or not, you actually set a goal. You imagined a future with her. And because you set that goal, you changed your activities. You started thinking about her. You started communicating with her. You started going on more dates. And as the relationship got stronger, you thought bigger about your life. You moved in. You had kids. And have you ever had a fight with your wife, Neil?
Occasionally.
Yeah, right? Was there ever a time where things got really ugly, intense?
Close.
Yeah. Did it change your activities?
In the short term.
Yeah. When things go off the rails, you best believe we start asking different questions and we start figuring out, what do I need to change so that we can get back on track here? We know how to have a relationship with another person, but we don't always know how to have a relationship with our goals. And the evidence of that is people cast a vision for what they want or they set a goal, but then it doesn't alter their behavior on a weekly basis. Versus having a relationship with their goals where every week they said, what do I need to do this week so that I'm growing closer to that goal? And when life happens, which it always does, when you lose a big client, when you lose an important key team member, when you have a health crisis, you best believe you are thinking about, what do I need to do differently so that I can get back on track? We just need to have a relationship with our goals.
I think that part of the challenge is that oftentimes when we sit down, as we're told to do or advised to do, when we sit down to do that goal setting and we imagine what we want for our practice or for our life in some period of time, a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever it is, we sit down, we think about this kind of perfect reality that isn't always aligned with our reality. It's like this is the perfect scenario. This is the dream scenario that I imagine I should have, or I think I'm supposed to have, as opposed to having it really aligned with my own personal values. Like, I know for me, and again, I'll use myself as an example. You know, I kept setting goals that were generated around the volume of work that I wanted to do and the revenue that I wanted to generate from it. And I never could really align with that, because what was really important for me, what was really important, was the lifestyle that I wanted. You know, how I spent my time, who I spent it with. And it wasn't until I got real clear that from a goal perspective, is that's what really interests me. That's what is I'm passionate about. Not so much about the making the money or, you know, so many clients per quarter and, you know, recognition. That was somebody else's perfection.
It's who's the person you become along the way and how do you live your values?
Yeah.
Yeah. Every year we host a couples goal setting retreat. And one of the exercises that we often have people do is we ask them what roles they play in their life. And here's an example. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a business owner. I'm also an employee. I'm a podcast host. I'm an athlete. You know, you can start listing out the various roles you play. And then you have to ask the question, which is my number one role? What's the role that's above all the others? What's the second? What's the third? And when you start to ask the question, am I a husband first or a father first? Which is more important? Am I a businessman with a family or a family man with a business? You start to ask those questions, you can line up what you want your roles to be, and then you hold up the mirror and go, are my actions actually reflective of my values? And for some people, that's an aha.
Yeah, I can see that. And it's that disconnect, I think, that makes it difficult to embark on a strategic approach to, you know, task management and time management, because they're not really aligned with the values that you have.
That's right. That's right.
Today's episode is brought to you by the team at Spotlight Branding. If you've been throwing money at Google and you haven't been happy with the casework you're attracting, it's time to switch up your marketing strategy. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of legal marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel and push you to spend thousands on pay-per-click ads. Instead, they work with solo and small law firms to stay top of mind with your network to increase referrals, which we all agree are the best kind of clients. To help show you how to do that, they are giving away a free copy of their new book, The Ultimate Solo Lawyer's Guide to More Referrals and Better Clients. This book is a great tool for entrepreneurial-minded attorneys like the listeners of The Law Entrepreneur, because it provides a framework to help you build a well-oiled marketing machine that positions you as an expert in your field and creates consistent referrals for your business. The Spotlight Branding team believes in this way of marketing so much that they are giving away free copies of their new book to lawyers across the country. To claim your copy, just go to spotlightbranding.com/guide and fill out a short form with your contact information. Spotlight Branding, a better way to market your law practice. So, you know, I think one of the great things about what you're doing is, this is kind of an aside here in the moment, but you know, the world is full of books, teaching books and self-development books. And oftentimes there's nothing behind the book. There's no, you know, other than what's written on the pages. What I like about what you have done with the company and are doing is you've really, really turned the book into a whole range of services and opportunities that people can connect with to get greater insight into the teachings from the book. Talk a little bit about what those include and how sure. People benefit from them.
Sure. Well, let's start by talking about where the book even came from. So for those of you who are familiar with Keller Williams, it's the largest real estate company in the world. And when Gary was starting the company, Gary Keller, he tells the story. There was a time when he was meeting with his key franchise owners, and every week they would come to their coaching meeting with Gary, and they would share what their top three priorities were. And Gary, week after week, would coach them on them to make sure that they were really clear and that they were in order of priority. And when they felt good, they'd say, okay, great, go have a successful week. And yet week after week after week, they'd come back accomplishing priority number two and priority number three, but not number one. And so Gary narrowed it down to, if you could only do two things this week, what would it be? And they declared them, okay, go, great, go be successful. The next week, they'd come back, Neil, and number two would be done, but not number one. And it was out of frustration that Gary was going, fine, what's the one thing you can do such that by doing it, everything else would be easier or unnecessary? When all his leaders started getting clarity on their one thing, the single thing that mattered most that week, there was no hiding. Suddenly they come back accomplishing the most important thing. And the business exploded. So that was the idea behind it. These were the principles that Gary used to scale Keller Williams to number one in the industry across every measure. So we looked at that and said, how do we actually serve people? How do we actually help people better invest their time by having a relationship with their goals so they can achieve extraordinary results? And it started by spinning up a content division. So we have a podcast that's in the top 5% of podcasts in the world. We have a writing team that's working on researching for other books. There is an online training division that allow people to come in and start living the principles virtually. We do events like our couples goal setting retreat. We've really broken into corporate in a big way. Lots of the Fortune 500 and 100, many law firms have made this part of their culture, and a coaching company as well. So, and that's all happened in about 4 years' time.
It's tremendous. It's really tremendous. Now, is it only just for the big guys, or can a solo struggling, attorney in Rockville benefit from it?
The book was written for the people in the cubicles. It was never written for the C-suite, not the corner office. The cool thing is when I look at, there is a very large logistics company we work with in the Fortune 100. And the way that we broke in to that organization was not the leadership. It was an individual. One single person who read the book and said, I'm just going to live this for me. My company will never adopt this, but I'm going to live this for me. And he started living it. And then he shared it with his manager. And she started living it. And she shared it with her director. And it rolled up the chain. Hmm. The vast majority of the people who are in our audience are not the big dogs. They're the mom and pop. They're the employee. They're vast majority of people are just leaders inside of a company or employees. It's not even the big executives. So absolutely.
You know, it's interesting just ruminating back a little bit on what you were saying with respect to how the one thing came about as a concept with Gary Keller. I made a post on social media this week that I'm down to the yucky things on my to-do list for the week. Okay. And between you, me, and the lamppost, the yucky things were the things I really didn't want to do, but I really should have done first.
The most important things?
The most important things. So that's how they got to be the yucky things, because they're haunting me, because they're there at the top of the list, but everything else beneath it's crossed off.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
So like I said, when I said I'm the poster child, there it is in actuality.
Yeah.
I think the difficulty for a lot of attorneys is, again, being overwhelmed and stressed out. They don't know where to start.
Yeah.
It's kind of like trying to pick a thread from a ball of yarn. They just don't know how to get a handle on the beginning process. Can you share some light on that?
Yeah. There's a story of a woman named Casey Gosell. So ever since she was a kid, she had a dream of becoming a partner in a big law firm. Like literally, that was her dream. She's like, that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And she's in Jersey. And she got out of law school, started working for a good firm, and was working hard, working her way up. Work was her life. And then one day, she got some tremendous news. She found out that she was pregnant with her first child. And she was so excited. And that afternoon, she found out she made partner.
Quite a dichotomy.
And then you know what hit the fan. Because Casey was working 80, 100 hour weeks and wasn't quite sure how it was going to work. But she said, you know what? I'll figure it out. I'll make it work. Well, fast forward, her baby's born. 4 months later, she is on the path to burnout. She's working the same number of hours, but when she's at her firm, she's feeling guilty because she's not with her child.
Yeah.
And when she's with her child, she's feeling guilty because she wasn't doing her billable hours. So after she put her daughter down, she was working into the wee hours of the night, trying to get her billable hours in, and then passing out for a few hours before her daughter woke her up to be fed. And it was one night that after she finally put her daughter down for, the 3 a.m., 2 a.m. snack, that her mind was racing. And she grabbed her Kindle and said, I need to find a book that looks so boring that it will put me to sleep. And she came across the one thing and said, this looks boring. Well, it captivated her. And she had a very interesting aha, which is the number one lie of productivity is the lie that everything matters equally. And it's the kind of Pareto's principle. 80% of your results come from just 20% of your activities. And we just take it further. How do you take the 20% of the 20% of the 20% till you truly arrive at one thing that makes everything else easier or unnecessary? And she had an interesting aha, Neil, because she realized that 80% of her compensation came from billable hours. 20% came from business development. She then opened her calendar and realized 80% of her time was blocked for biz dev and only 20% of her time was blocked for billable hours. It was flipped.
Yeah.
So she just made a change. She went to her assistant and established a new rule saying there's only one thing allowed a day on my calendar that is not billable hours. She immediately sent an email to every committee chair that she was a part of and said, I'm so sorry, but in my life right now, I just need to batten down the hatches. I've got to remove myself from these meetings for a period of time. And what shocked her was that people replied back and said, no worries, good for you. And nobody ever circled back with her to get her back in there. Suddenly her time was her own. And you fast forward a year, Casey went from thinking she was literally going to have to give up on her dream of being a partner to doubling her income while working 40% less.
Yeah. I can see the parable.
So the idea that we want to hear, that we want you to hear is, we get it. You have so much on your plate. It is overwhelming. And the path to getting everything you want is to get one thing at a time. Instead of viewing all the stuff that's on your plate as stuff on your plate, imagine each item as an individual domino. And just like when you were a kid and you line dominoes up, just line them up in order and be really clear on what the first one is. And your job is to make sure that you have time every day just to knock down that itty bitty 2-inch one first. Because everything else becomes easier or unnecessary.
When do you set that in place? The night before? The morning of?
Yeah, this is where we start to get pretty granular. Yeah. I can tell you, if we start at a high level, it can be a weekly thing. Yeah. So we say there's three things you time block. The first thing you block is your vacations. Gary always said he just blocks his vacation and then makes a mental commitment that he's just going to work in between vacations. Versus always working and finding that he never has time for vacations.
Trying to squeeze the vacay in.
That's right. So look, at our couples retreat, we have the couples whip out a planner, paper planner, and block the vacation, whether they know where they're going or not. Place the boulder in the stream because you can always take it back. So you block that. You reserve time on a daily basis for your one thing, whatever that is for the day. And then on a weekly basis, can you have a block of time, even if it's 10 minutes? Specifically dedicated for planning. For me, that's Friday mornings.
You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150, that's like the Law Entrepreneur 150, for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. How important is flexibility?
Incredibly.
Because I think, again, the challenge or the concern that a lot of folks have, myself included, is you know, I'm not sure what the firm relationships are, you know, 2 or 3 days, 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months out are. Mm-hmm. I need to have some flexibility to adjust that. Can I be adjusting my one thing, or am I adjusting Absolutely. Everything thereafter?
Well, the first thing is, I want you to imagine a rushing river, Neil. And imagine that there is water that's rushing down this river and all of a sudden hits this massive boulder that's in the middle of the stream. What does the water do?
Surges around it.
What most people do when they plan their time is they open their digital calendar, see all the stuff that's there, and then they just try to fit everything else in those white spaces that remain. But that's falling trapped to the number one lie of productivity. That's people treating everything like it matters equally. It's why we use digital calendars, and we don't start there. We start on our planners, because a paper planner is blank. Nobody can put stuff on there. And we designed, it's called a one thing planner, where you place your big rocks in the stream first when you're unbiased by all the other stuff. Because then when you open the digital calendar, you start to realize there's a lot of stuff that can conflict. But my point to you, Neil, is I would first and foremost challenge and say, can you push back once? When you place a big rock, when you place your one thing, that time block on your digital calendar, and something comes up that conflicts with it, can you push back once and say, hey guys, can we push it to later that day? Can we push it to the next day? And if they really say no, and you feel that you need to violate your time block, we have a simple rule. When it comes to what matters most, if you erase it, you must replace it. I violated my planning time this morning. Something else came up that I said, you know what? It was a higher priority for me to have a conversation with this potential client than it was for me to honor my planning time block. And that time block is a 20%er. My planning is a block that generates 80% of my results. So it must be replaced. So I just moved it to Sunday morning. I don't like to do it on the weekends, and I'm willing to do it because I made that choice. When it comes to the things that matter most, the 20%, if you erase it, you must replace it.
How about accountability?
And what do you want to know?
Well, it's my Achilles heel because I don't know why I feel the need to expose all of my foibles here. But, I've told the story before that I have the prettiest calendars, the prettiest task management lists. But because I'm a solo and don't really, answer to a boss or what have you, I'm free to move stuff around. Yeah. And so I can move it around with the best of them until I get to Sunday. I'm out of time. We have to move this to next week.
And then you tell yourself, I'll do better next week. But because you don't change the underlying problem, you won't.
Yeah. So accountability is a big issue for me.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to Gary's story. There is something that's really important in that. What a lot of people do, like you said, like, oh, I had the most beautiful calendars. Everything was blocked. It was color coordinated. Yeah. Like, it was beautiful.
It's a work of art.
Yeah. How many things did Gary narrow it down to with his top leaders?
Yeah. Initially 3 and then ultimately 1.
When you, how many things did you hear me say to time block?
Just the one.
I said, you got your time off, your one thing on a daily basis, and your planning time. I'm not saying that's the only thing that you block, and I'm not saying it's the only thing you do. I'm saying it's the thing you do first. So when you, Neil, narrow your focus down to truly one thing that is the mark of success, that raises your personal accountability because there's no hiding. Like I said, this was the single most important thing this week and I haven't gotten it done. And on Friday afternoon, you're going to find yourself scrambling to get it done because you just want to get it done. And because you make it small enough that it's a 2-inch domino, you just effortlessly flick your finger and it can fall over. Let me give you a perfect example of this.
Sure.
Let's say, give me an idea of a big goal somebody might have over the course of a year.
I want to add video marketing to my website.
Okay. Is that a common thing that yes. a listener might have? Okay. So by the end of this year, I want to have video marketing on my website so that what?
So that help attract clients to my firm.
Okay, great. So what you're about to witness is me asking a series of coaching questions that model this principle. Think big, go small, trust the dominoes will fall. Think big. I'm going to have video marketing by the end of this year, so I'm attracting more clients to my site. Go small. Pay attention to what the lead domino is. It's going to be so small, it's going to feel like cheating. And trust that the dominoes will fall. So I'm now going to ask Neil the focusing question of the book. Neil, what's the one thing somebody can do this month that would make having their video marketing on their site by the end of the year easier or unnecessary?
Turning the camera on.
Turn the camera on. Okay, great. So I just took a year down to a month, and now let's take a month down to a week. Neil, what's one thing somebody can do this week so that by the end of the month, they would have turned the camera on?
Plan what they want to say.
Plan what they want to say. How much time minimum would they have to chip away this week to be on track for having something to say by the end of the month so they could turn on the camera?
Probably less than an hour. If you're just thinking about in terms of topics, what are the topics I want to cover?
So let's pay attention to the language. What's the minimum amount of time?
The minimum amount of time, 15 minutes.
Great. Your one thing this week is to block 15 minutes for you to write down some topics you can talk about. That's what we mean by going small. And that's also what we mean by having a relationship with your goals. Your goal is to have video marketing on your site by the end of the year. Yet your one thing this week, that lead domino, is a 15-minute time block. Now, Neil, if I said your week is a success or a failure based on whether or not you honor 15 minutes, can you do it?
Of course, yeah.
Did you hear the confidence in your voice?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the importance of think big, go small, 15 minutes small, and trust that the dominoes will fall. Trust that if this week you put 15 minutes in to identify the topics, doesn't mean you even stop at 15 minutes. Are you more or less likely to actually turn the camera on by the end of the month?
Yeah, for sure, a lot more.
And if you actually turned the camera on and you knew what to say, are you more or less likely to record something?
More likely.
And if you recorded something this month and continue to do so over the course of 12 months, are you more or less likely to have video marketing on your website?
More likely. You've made incremental little steps along the way to make that a reality.
That's what it means. The mistake that people make when it comes to time blocking and having a relationship with their goals is they block everything. And they think they have to honor their schedule perfectly. And that's false. Everything does not matter equally. It's like going to the gym for the first time. I'm not asking you to walk over to the weight rack and start curling 100s like it's your job. I'm asking you to pick up a 2.5 pounder and curl it once. Prove to yourself this week that you can do one rep. Because next week you might do two. And the next week you might do three. And over time, boy, does it compound.
Yeah. Now, how do you work this in for our listeners who are trying to manage staff?
Oh, you know, they're so good.
They're trying to get their own act in order, but they also are managing staff. And a lot of times, attorneys who haven't had a lot of management training, for them, managing staff means making sure that they're productive using their time. That I'm paying them for.
Well, we need to dive into multiple things here. There is one thing to have a lot of activity, and it's another thing to have a lot of productivity. Activity is just being busy. Productivity is doing what matters most. So there's a quote that we have that all leadership begins with self-leadership. The reason I share that with you is if you have staff, you've got to cast the shadow. It starts with you. You first and foremost have to become a practice leader before you earn the right to ask them to do it. And pay attention to the language I'm using. A practice leader. You lead by doing before you earn the right to ask them to do something different. And then once you're a practice leader and you start asking yourself the question, okay, what's my one thing this week? And you just make sure you're getting that done. We then have a definition of leadership, which is leadership is teaching people how to think so they can get what they need when they need it. Part of the reason that so many leaders hit a ceiling of achievement is they don't empower people to think. They just tell people what to do because it's faster and it's easier. And we were never taught how to teach people to think. And the way you do that is stop considering yourself a manager and start considering yourself a coach. Coaches don't tell people what to do. They ask great questions.
Yeah, but what if they don't think like I want them to think?
Who says that your way is the best way?
Well, yeah.
There's a few things here. One, when you start by leading with questions, you gain genuine insight into the way that they are thinking. So that if they truly are wrong, you can then guide them in the right direction.
Yeah.
But if you always just tell them what to do, they will eventually learn to stop thinking for themselves and just wait for your guidance. And you will never truly become what we consider a business owner. A business owner is somebody that can actually step away from their business and it can continue to grow because they have people that can run it for them. And that's a big shift. So to answer your question very directly, Neil, because I've gone kind of theoretical. First and foremost, live it yourself. Second, you want to do this with your staff? Go to your staff and ask them, out of everything that's on your plate this week, what's the one that actually matters most? And watch them look at you like deer in the headlights and go, come on, let me help you. What really? Of everything that's on your plate, what's the one that matters most? They'll figure it out. And then you say, great. If that's what matters most, I want to support you. When can you do it this week? Let's look at your calendar. Let's get the space blocked now. You've identified your one thing. Now let's time block your one thing. And the third step is protect your time block.
Yeah.
So here's two questions you can ask. What's most likely to distract you from accomplishing that during your time block? They will come up with the answer, and the answer might be you, and you need to be prepared for that. And then ask them, great, well, what's one thing you can do to solve that? And watch them come up with the answer. The end. Identify your one thing, time block your one thing, protect your time block.
You know, the complaint that most attorneys have is that with their staff is frequently is that they won't do anything unless I tell them to do it. You know, I need staff that can think for themselves and their actions be in alignment with what our goals are as a firm. And I think what you've just outlined is a roadmap for solving that issue.
Well, so this is really cool. The thing that makes a great individual contributor is they see what needs to get done and they execute it really, really well. So they get promoted into leadership. Yet the skill set that got them promoted is not the skill set that makes them a great leader. Because a leader does not run through walls. A leader is able to cast a vision and succeed through others. So part of the models of the one thing, I said all leadership begins with self-leadership. This is a bottom-up approach. This, I don't care what level you're at. If you're front desk all the way to managing partner, how can you consider yourself a practice leader and walk into your work on a weekly basis, understanding if I could only accomplish one thing this week, here's what it is. And should I earn the right to accomplish a second thing? This is it. Should I earn the right to accomplish a third? This is it. And I'm the type of person that actually has time blocked for myself on a daily basis to do that thing that matters most. I'm the type of person who has time on a weekly basis to plan. I'm the type of person who plans my vacations out and works in between vacation. When you start there, you suddenly teach yourself to think. And then when you actually earn the right to have people report to you, you now get to turn around and cast a shadow and empower them to think as well.
Well, it's simplicity generates its clarity.
Bingo.
I mean, it's, you know, I remember when I read the book, I was stunned by that in that it was very clear that the power of this approach is in its simplicity, because anybody can think of what's the one thing. If you spend a little bit of time trying to drill down on what it is, I only have to keep track of one thing. I don't have to keep track of my entire week's schedule.
Well, and I want to point a clarification, because people hear the idea of one thing and they immediately call BS because they say I have more than one thing.
Yeah.
And all we're going to suggest to you here is we all do. And we're not saying don't check email. We're not saying don't go to meetings. We're not saying don't say yes if somebody asks if you got a minute. What we're saying is acknowledge that the vast majority of us have been running around our lives treating everything like it matters equally. And all we're saying is that there's a better way. Instead of spending your time, you can invest it. And it starts by just getting clarity, really small, on one thing that you can do this week that'll make the biggest impact. And prove to yourself that you can block time for that and protect that time. The rest of the time, operate just as usual. But over time, you will start to control your time. You will start to have larger blocks of time. You will get to the point where the majority of your time is invested in the 20%. And guess what? When you are truly mastering your 20%, 80% of the results happen and the business grows and you earn the right to bring on leverage that your 80% becomes their 20. That's how it scales.
Well, I think that for everybody in the listening audience, that their one thing for the upcoming week will be to find out how they can connect with the one thing. So why don't you help them with that? How can our audience reach out to you and the organization and to the book and start that journey down the path of understanding what the one thing is?
Sure. So I'll share a few dominoes with you and you get to choose which one you knock down first. You're already listening to a podcast. Search for the One Thing Podcast, all spelled out, the one O-N-E thing podcast. You will see it there. If you've not yet read the book, it's the highest rated business book of all time for a reason. If you would like to check out our website, it's theonething.com. That one is with the number one in the URL. So the number one thing.com. And if you click on the training page, you will see we've got a section around corporate training and coaching. What's often very, very successful inside of firms is doing a train the trainer model. We certify your people to make it part of your culture and it changes everything.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. We'll have all those notes in the show notes. Jeff, I couldn't thank you enough for spending the time with us today. It's really a pleasure to reconnect with you. It's been a long time. Let's not make it that long in the future.
Yeah, my pleasure, Neil. And congrats on 200 plus episodes. You should be really proud of yourself for sticking with this. And you've made a big impact.
Well, you had a lot to do with it. So I thank you again for being a guest on The Law Entrepreneur. Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today in this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists, Jurisdiction, and Spotlight Branding. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.